Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this week's online video picks are up on our website, and they are mostly musical. See Arlo Guthrie's new music video of Changing My Name to Chrysler for the new auto bailout era. Very funny visuals. And Tom Paxton singing Changing My Name to Fannie Mae. Plus, it's Proposition 8, the musical, in our online video picks. Go to wnyc.org/video. Well, there are more riots in Greece today. They've been going on since December 6th, when a 15-year-old boy was shot and killed by a police bullet. Joining us to sort out this very complicated story, and one that's very unfamiliar to most Americans, about what exactly is going on in Greece, is Rachel Donadio, Rome Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Rachel, welcome to WNYC today. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
How did the riots start?
Well, as you said, the riots started after this police bullet killed this 15-year-old. What happens in Greece a lot is that kids tend to kind of pick on the police, and the police tend to kind of pick on kids. And so after this child, or this 15-year-old, was killed by this bullet, we don't know whether it was a direct shot or not, a lot of really angry young people in this neighborhood that's known for kind of violent protests went on a rampage. They threw Molotov cocktails and rocks at the police and trashed lots of stores, cars, businesses all around Athens. Now, obviously, when a tragic police killing happens, normally an entire country isn't brought to its knees. So in the case of Greece, what happened was there was clearly a ton of underlying tension in the society that was just kind of waiting to explode when this happened. There's tremendous economic unrest. There's a whole generation of really angry young people, many of whom have graduated from college and are facing unemployment now. There's also, it bears mentioning, a very unstable security situation that was not handled well. The government, after these riots began, told the police to back off because they were afraid that someone else might get killed. And in that case, that would, you know, it would be even more violent and unstable. So at first you have what is seen as police violence instigating this killing. And then what you have is kind of police passivity. So the police were told not to act aggressively and basically not to stop these rioters. And while this situation just went on and on and on, it kind of gave momentum to the protesters. And so now, even a couple of weeks later, there are still these riots going on. It's really one of the most unstable situations I have ever witnessed, and certainly one of the most unstable situations that we've seen in Western Europe in a long time.
And listeners, if we have anyone in the audience right now who is from Greece or who has contact with Greece, or wants to say anything about this situation or ask a question, 212-433-WNYC. We just have a few minutes for this, but call right now, 212-433-9692 for Rachel Donadio, Rome Bureau Chief for The Times, or post your comment or question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We have a web page for this. Rachel, UPI is reporting that Greek commentators have described the protests as an eruption of anger by the 600 euro a month people, meaning members of the Greek underclass who earn only that amount or less. Anti-immigration campaigners have even claimed that Islamic activists were involved in stirring up the violence, though the evidence for that seems almost non-existent at the moment from the reporting that we've seen. How much truth is there, as far as you could tell, to any of that?
Well, I can't really speak to the situation about whether Islamic terrorists are involved in this at all. What I saw was a lot of really angry young people. There is, I believe it's a 700, it's called Generation 700 in Greece, which is the generation of young people and even older people who earn 700 euros a month, which is the Greek minimum wage. That's about $880 a month. Because that minimum wage is so low, people have to take on other jobs. So there is tremendous amount of economic anxiety. That being said, it normally doesn't cause rioting in the streets. You also have to bear in mind the fact that there's a tremendous amount of frustration at this government. There's a center-right government of Kostas Karamanlis. He has a one-vote majority in the parliament. His government has been racked by lots of corruption scandals, most recently involving real estate land swaps. So people really have very little confidence in this government. It's a government that came, that was elected first in 2004 and reelected in 2007 with a kind of reform platform. It wanted to reform the schools. It wanted to cut bureaucracy. It wanted to reduce the public debt. It wanted to reduce the, you know, the pension debt. But, you know, a government that campaigns saying, urging Greeks to pay their taxes and register their land has, you know, it loses some credibility when high-ranking members of the government are convicted of having done neither. So there's a lot of... you know, there's a tremendous lack of confidence in the government, and you add that to a bad economic situation, and you add that also to a culture that seems to have a remarkably high tolerance for protest. Violent protest, not so much, but, you know, in Greece, they're used to protest. I live in Rome. There are manifestations, demonstrations all the time. They don't normally turn into destruction of property. So, you know, what happened in between the 15-year-old getting shot and all these, you know, one of the reasons that people say the government didn't tell the police stop this immediately is because there really is a high tolerance on the part of the population for protest. It was only after, I think, $250 million worth of damage was done to Athens shops that public opinion turned against these protesters.
Also joining us briefly now is Dr. Anna Karpathakis, professor of sociology at Kingsborough Community College in Brooklyn. Dr. Karpathakis, thank you very much for coming on with us. As far as you know, is there any aspect of immigrant disaffection to these riots? Is there any correlation between these and the riots that took place among disaffected immigrant groups in France in 2005?
There are elements. Some of the issues that came up on the blogs from Athens discuss issues and problems that the immigrants in Greece do face. Now, the immigrants in Greece are not organized. The communities are not as large. But there are clearly issues of police brutality against the immigrants that these young people are beginning to discuss. There are problems.
And do you want to react to the last answer that Rachel was giving, which, you know, talked about some of the deep roots of this and also how people's opinions didn't really turn against the rioters until a lot of businesses in Athens were destroyed?
Well, people's opinions... I'm not sure that people's opinions are against the demonstrators at this point. I think we need to stop talking about the events there as riots at this point and talk about demonstrations. The nature of the events has changed over the last few days because now we get unions out striking demonstrations. The hospital workers are going on a 24-hour strike. So clearly there's more sympathy than opposition to the demonstrators.
Rachel, what about the word riots? We also have another caller who we're not going to have time to put on who objects to the word riots to describe these demonstrations. Is that the word that the Times is using?
Well, I've used violent unrest. I can't remember, frankly, whether I used the word riot. The word riot happens when you have a huge demonstration with a lot of people holding signs, chanting against the government. That's fine. When there are rocks being thrown, Molotov cocktails, and tremendous amounts of tear gas, I can see why some people would call that a riot.
Fred in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hello, Fred.
Yes. Hi, good morning, Brian. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a comment about the fact that I've been following, the events in Greece on the news at night, on the world news, on Channel 13. And my opinion is I've been out of work myself for about a year. And believe me, I believe that what's going on there is kind of similar to the economic situation that started in this country and then spread across the world. I believe that what's going on there is going to spread in reverse across the world in maybe the next year to come, because the economic situation, I really don't feel a lot of people are feeling it, but not in the reality that it's going to cause people.
I understand. I mean, this is a doomsday scenario, but Fred in Queens is not the only one articulating it, that if things go down and down and down into a depression and to a certain point in this country, which you can't absolutely rule out at this time, that we actually are going to see unrest in the United States as a result of the economy. But, Rachel, is there any reason to think that Greece is a leading edge of that worst-case scenario?
I'm afraid I think there is a good reason to think it's a leading edge. To me, watching these events unfold last week, it was extremely unsettling because there was no sense that anyone was in control of anything. I mean, in some countries, you have a sense that unrest is just part of the picture. And Greece is a unique place in Western Europe, but generally in Western Europe, you have a sense that things are under control, kind of. In the dark night of the soul, I kind of worry that the riots in Greece or the protests in Greece, or whatever you want to call these violent upheavals, are going to spread all across Europe, where you have a lot of young people who are facing futures that might not be as bright as their parents, although probably brighter than their grandparents. And they're extremely frustrated. They don't think the government is doing enough for them. They're not making enough money. And these are countries, especially in Southern Europe, with traditions of violent upheavals. I mean, this is the area, there's always a low level of political violence in Greece. In Spain, you have, you know, Basque terrorism, and in Italy, there were, in the years of Lead, all kinds of domestic terrorists. I really hope that we don't see a new chapter where this happens, but I think that in the last few months, things have changed so radically in the economy that we really need to fasten our seatbelts. It's not going to be pretty.
Wow. But you were saying that Greece, as a government, is particularly corrupt and particularly dysfunctional.
Well, I mean, I think that it's accused of being that, and yes, in the last few months there have been these corruption scandals. It's not, the Greek government now is not in a very strong position. It has a one-vote majority and has been racked by scandals. I do think that if it had handled the security system better, that these protests wouldn't have gotten out of hand and wouldn't have gained momentum. And, you know, so it really is a combination of a security situation handled badly and a kind of brewing unrest.
Do you think that there's a new media angle to this, that the information now spreads so quickly that the riots can become a bigger issue than they would have without blogs, etc.?
Well, it's been really interesting for me to look at blogs, and even CNN had, you know, people sending in camera phone videos, and certainly the demonstrators throwing Molotov cocktails and getting hit with tear gas are kind of photogenic. I mean, it's easier to film that than to film a lot of people sitting at home worrying about how they're going to pay the rent. What's interesting to me is how a lot of these protesters connected with cell phone, you know, text message chains and on indie media, and I think a lot of protesters from outside Greece are now coming to join some of this harder core of, you know, the self-described anarchists like the Black Bloc who are really front and center in some of these demonstrations, not the ones involving Greek labor unions, but they all kind of combine. I mean, what you have is, you know, a lot of people who are fed up and don't want to take it anymore, and they all join forces, and they all have different agendas, and it's all very confused, but it contributes to the same kind of situation of unrest.
Brian from Brooklyn writes on our website, "Tolerance for protest sounds like the bedrock of democracy, which began, you guessed it, in Athens." And then he writes, "The more important question concerns how these anarchists and student activists conceive of democracy today. If it is a class-based struggle, does Marx govern their critique?"
Wow. I don't know I really don't know the kind of ideological underpinnings. I mean, what happens is you're trying to just figure out what's going on from one minute to the next in a situation like that as a reporter. But, I mean, I do think that, yes, protest is a healthy part of democracy, and that's in part why in Greece they have such a high tolerance for it. I do think there's a fine line between healthy democratic protest and what's really just destruction and utter mayhem. I mean, if you're frustrated about how you're going to pay your rent, firebombing a bank, you know, that's one option, but I don't necessarily think it's the only one in a healthy democracy.
Sarah in Bergenfield, we have 15 seconds for you, but I want you to get your question in.
Okay, thanks. I was wondering, my sister's been studying abroad in Athens, and she told me about an anti-American day that was there, and I was just wondering if these riots and how it's spreading across Western Europe, as you said, if that's going to breed more anti-American sentiment.
Is there anti-American sentiment in these riots, or is it all domestic?
I think that there's a slight part of anti-American sentiment, but these are really mostly domestic riots for a change. I mean, in Greece, someone hit the American embassy in January of 2007 with a rocket-propelled grenade in Greece, a revolutionary struggle group, it's called. But what's interesting about these riots is that they seem mostly domestic, although all kinds of ideological positions are getting thrown in now, probably some anti-American. But at the outset, I saw these as purely domestic.
Rachel Donadio, New York Times Rome Bureau Chief, covering the riots in Greece. Thank you very much for coming on with us. Very bracing.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And I think after all of this today, Madoff and Greece and everything else, it is time to have a little fun, don't you think? So coming up in a minute, we will talk to a senior editor from New York Magazine about their feature this week on 59 things to love about New York, especially now. Some of theirs are really fun, and we'll invite yours. 212-433-WNYC.